But turn to this parable then. It's the last of the parables of the kingdom of heaven parables. And this one I've entitled, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's the title for our sermon this morning. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that, of course, is the first message that the Lord Jesus Christ took to the world. That's what he went preaching. The very first thing that he said to unbelievers, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Note that he didn't say, do good works, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He did not say, be the best that you can, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He did not say, be very religious, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why did he say that? Because we are all sinners. We are all fallen in our sins. And we all, if we want salvation, must come in repentance, seeking salvation through the grace and the mercy of God, not through anything that we can do, but through that mercy and love that God can only bestow upon us. And this parable highlights that. At first, when you look at this parable, you think, well, getting into the kingdom of heaven is about doing good works, isn't it? But actually, that's not the message of this parable. And it's not what this parable is about, as we're going to see. Well, firstly then, we're going to look at the great privileges and honours and blessings and the responsibilities that came with those privileges and honours and blessings that were bestowed upon these servants. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So here we have it. Here we see these servants. They're just servants. They are in the employ of this great master that they have. And he is a very wealthy man. The talent now would be worth something in the region of about £2 million, something like that. So it's a huge amount of money that is being bestowed upon these servants to look after. A great privilege, a great honour, a great responsibility that is given to each one of them. And they are not given each the same amount. One receives 5, one receives 2, and the other receives 1. Why is that? Because the master is sensible. The master is kind. The master is not going to expect anything from them that he knows that they are not able to do. And therefore, he disposes these gifts upon them. Sorry about that. He disposes these gifts upon them according to their abilities. So he is not unjust at all. He is not a man who is going to expect too much from that man who can only reasonably be expected to produce 1 more talent. Or the man who has 2 talents, he's not going to expect him to produce 5 more talents. No, he knows them, and he knows them well. He knows the abilities that they have, and so he disposes his gifts upon them according to their abilities. So the first thing that we learn from this parable is that all that we have in this world, all that we are in this world, is disposed upon us by God. It's given to us by God. We don't have anything of our own. And therefore, When people say to me, well, you know, I have all these wonderful abilities to give to God. I'm sure God wants me. I'm sure God will bless me because I'm serving him in this way with my abilities and I'm serving him in that way with my abilities. Well, friends, it makes me despair. Because they haven't realized, they don't understand at all that all that they have gained from God. It's been given to them. And therefore, to give it back to God is only giving what he has given you. He's only giving what is his by right. You're not actually contributing anything to God whatsoever. Why does he want us? Have you ever thought about that? Why does he want us as his children? Why does he want us to serve him? Why does he want us in heaven? Is it because we can contribute anything to his glory? Is it because he needs our praise and our worship? No, he doesn't. He will be as glorious and as wonderful as he is now if he had never created anybody, not any person, not any angel. He needs nothing from us whatsoever. He doesn't crave our worship and our praise. He doesn't need our worship and our praise. It doesn't affect him at all in any way, in his glory, in his majesty, in who he is. So we cannot contribute anything to God whatsoever. That's not the point of this parable. The first point of this parable is to tell us that all that we have has been given to us. All that we have. For instance, which one of us chose to be born? You don't need to put up your hands if you think you did choose it. It's just a rhetorical question to make us think. Think about it, friends. Did you choose to be born? Did you choose to be that egg that was fertilized and that would come to life in your mother's womb over and above all those other eggs that have been shed and never came to anything? Did you choose that, friends? No, you had no say in it whatsoever. Did you choose to be one of the children that were born over and above all those other children that were still born when you were born? No, you had no choice in it. Did you choose to live and survive in this world over and above all those other children, those poor, sad children that never did reach the age of 6 months or a year or 5 years? No, you had nothing to do with it whatsoever. Your life was given to you by God. Your life was sustained by God. He determined that you would be born into this world. He determined it all. Again, friends, think about it. Did you choose the abilities that you had? The looks that you had? The color hair that you had? The size that you grew to? The features that you've got? Did you? Did you choose to be, have a brain that could work so incredibly well with maths, or have a brain that could see the beauty and express the beauty in art? Did you choose that, friends? No, whatever your abilities were given to you. I know people go around proud and arrogant about their abilities. They're told to believe in themselves as though it's all of them, that they have worked up these abilities, that they have gained these abilities. But it's not, friends. It's not. It's all of God. And who determined that you would be the one that had, though, was able to work with those abilities and develop those abilities? I knew a man who worked with me as a buyer. He was a senior buyer. I was an under buyer at that time, but he was a senior buyer at that time. And I just assumed that he'd been a buyer all his life. Until I got got to talk to him, made friends with him, and he revealed to me that he had been a professional footballer. But he prayed for his country. He prayed for Ireland, his country. And what happened? He got an injury. And that injury meant that he could never play football again. And he ended up a senior buyer. Senior buyer, good job. But it's not a professional footballer, is it? You see, who determined that those professional footballers would be professional footballers and at the top of their game for the length of time that they are at the top of their game? You see, God determines everything. All the blessings that we have, all the good things and all the perfect things that come to us in this world are from God. They're from Him. And therefore, we have nothing to lift up to our God and offer back to our God in exchange for our salvation, do we? Do we, friends? Nothing at all. Nothing. These servants, when they came to their master and they were called to account at their master's bar, these servants brought what their master had given to them, and they brought back to their master what they had gained from what their master had given to them. It was all their master's. It was not theirs. It was all their master's. Wasn't it, friends? They were not offering a gift to their master. They were not offering anything to their master that was not his due. It was all his. And therefore, what they gained by it was not on their merits. It was not on what their good works. It was all a blessing from their master, a mercy from their master, as we'll see. You can't earn anything from God. You can't contribute anything to God. You can't contribute anything to your salvation. All that you have is from God. And all that you do for God is your duty. It's the same for me, friends, as it is for you. You cannot buy your salvation, earn your salvation, merit your salvation in any way, shape, or form. And on top of that, friends, we are all sinners. And we are worthy of destruction, to be cast away from God for all eternity into hell, that place for sinners, where we will suffer for our sins for all eternity, which is just what we deserve, and rightly what we deserve. So that's the first point. The second thing I want you to observe is what they did with what they were given. What they did with it and why they did it. It says here, verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own and with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So what did they do with them? Each one had the ability to make something of what they were given. That's why their master gave it to them. And that's why he gave them different amounts. He wasn't expecting too much of them. He was only expecting what they were able to do. So the Lord gives and disposes in this world. He doesn't expect more from us than we can give. So somebody who is born into this world, who doesn't have the ability to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are born with not the mental capacity to do that, not the mental capacity to grow to anything more than a child of maybe 1 or 2 or 3 years old, then the Lord will not require from them as much as he will require from us. Of course not. The Lord is just. The Lord is good. And that's why salvation is not based upon works. Well, one of the reasons why. There are thousands of people, millions of people in this world who don't have the ability to do what we can. You and I can. They may be born with some mental or physical deficiency. They may be born into a life where they cannot contribute as much as anybody else. They can't do those good works that we can do. So what about them? Should God curse them? Should God send them to hell because they cannot do those good works? What if it's based on works? Where do they stand, friends? How about those millions of people who are not born into the wealthy society that we are born into in this world, where all day and all night until they fall to their beds absolutely exhausted and starving, most of them spend all their day trying to survive and trying to get their next meal or money for their next meal? What about them? Should God send them to hell because they are not able to contribute to their salvation? Should he? Well, that means millions upon millions upon millions of people who had no choice where they were born are going to hell purely because they cannot earn their salvation. How unjust that would be. How unkind. No, friends. This master did not require anything of these three men that he knew they couldn't do. So he gave one 5 talents, he gave one 2 talents, and he gave the other 1 talent, according to their abilities, according to what he knew that they were up to and they could do as his servants. And he went on a long journey, and he left his wealth, his interests, in their hands. They had the ability to make or break him. That's how serious it was. And he went on this long journey. And when he came back after that long journey, he called them to account. And he wanted to know what they had done with it. Now we know, don't we, the one with 5 talents, He had gone out and he had done what he could. He had been faithful. He had been obedient. He had followed his master's instructions, and he had gone out and he had used that money wisely, just as his master knew he could do with his abilities. And he had produced 5 more talents. He had been faithful. Note, friends, his reward was based not on how much he had produced. It was based on the fact that he had been faithful. Look at what the Lord said to him. Verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Faithful over a few things. You see, he produced 5 more talents. Maybe up to £10 million worth in our currency. It was a huge amount of money. But he wasn't rewarded on the basis of what he had done. He was rewarded on the basis that he had been faithful and obedient and done what was expected of him. And the same with the 2 talents. He had been faithful too. And so he was rewarded. And no, we'll come to this in a moment. They each had the same reward, didn't they? They each received the same reward. Even though one had produced 5 more talents and one had produced 2 more talents. This is the generosity of this Lord. The wisdom, the generosity, the kindness of this Lord. That's the sort of man he was. And yet the man with 1 talent has the audacity to accuse him of being unjust and wicked. And to use that as an excuse to go and hide his talent in the ground and do nothing with it. He said to him, Lord, he said, then he had received the 1 talent, verse 24, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But it was all a big ruse. It was all a big excuse. It was all lies. It was all slurs upon his Lord. Because the Lord knew him. And the Lord says to him, you wicked and lazy servant. That was the real reason why he went and hid his talent in the ground. You are a wicked and lazy man. And there is no excuse for what you have done with your talent. You say that I was unjust, that I scattered seed where I reap where I had not sown and so forth. Well, what should you have done then? You should have deposited that money with a banker. Then I would at least have got some return on it. In other words, friends, that excuse that the world uses that God is unkind and unjust and therefore I can't believe in God is utter claptrap. And rubbish. And doesn't stand at the bar of God. Because if we believe that God is hard, and if we believe that God is unjust, and if we believe that God does these things, these hard and evil things, then we ought to be making our peace with him. Shouldn't we? We ought to be seeking some way to appease this God. Not hiding from him, knowing that judgment is going to come down upon us one day. But we ought to be fleeing to him and seeking mercy and seeking forgiveness. Not making our excuses and expecting him to accept them. And that's exactly what the master says, isn't it? You thought I was like this. Well, then you ought to have done something with this that I've given you. Not nothing. If you really feared me, you would have done something with it. You'd have been too scared not to do something with it. And it's the same with us, friends. The Lord has given us every blessing. But what are we doing with it? That's what God is asking us. Are we faithful and are we obedient? That means, are we obeying our God? Not just keeping his commandments, but keeping all his word. What does he tell us in the word? He says, this is my son. Hear him. Well, are we listening to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we hearing the Lord Jesus Christ's messages? Are we taking it in? Are we responding to the Lord Jesus Christ's message? What was his first message? What did I say his first message was? You'll find it. I think chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel. What was it? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, have you repented, friends? Have you turned to God? Have you fallen on your knees before him in prayer? Have you asked him and pleaded with him for your salvation and your forgiveness for your sins? Have you? Have you, friends? That's the way of salvation. That's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him for your salvation? That's the message of Jesus. That's what Jesus is telling us to do. Repent and believe upon him for your salvation. Trust in him. Trust in what he has done on the cross of Calvary for your salvation. Or you will perish. Or you have no salvation. You cannot be forgiven. All our salvation, all our hope of heaven is based on what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. And we have to obey him. Are we faithful to God if we do not obey the Lord Jesus Christ, our God? No, we are unfaithful. We're like that servant who is going about burying his head into the world. In all the filth and all the degradation of the world, and expecting God to be pleased what we hand back to him. A life that is marred by sin, that is spoilt by iniquity, that is made absolutely untenable to him and untouchable to him by our transgressions. We're handing that back to God and saying, look, God, here's my life back. Look, look, I'm worshipping you. Look, I'm reading my Bible. Look, I'm a very pious person. But what you're offering back to God is something that is spoiled, that is filthy, that is disgusting in his sight because of sin. And those sins we're doing every single day. We're contributing to them over and over again. And for as long as we are turning against the Lord Jesus Christ, every moment of our existence is an act of rebellion and sin against God. That's what we're offering back to God. And saying, look, I should be saved. I should go into your kingdom. I should be accepted. Why? Why, friends? You're offering back that talent with all the filth and all the dust and all the dirt and all the grime of where it's been buried. That's what you're offering back to God. And you're expecting God to welcome you into his kingdom, a kingdom of purity, a kingdom of holiness, a kingdom that is fit for him to exist. No, friends, it cannot be, can it? No. The only way that you could be fit for heaven is if you are washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you stand on the basis of what he has done on the cross of Calvary for your salvation, or you will perish. You cannot be there. You cannot be accepted. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how religious you are, you must come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You must hear him if you want to be saved. Well, friends, let's look at the last point, the result of their efforts. Firstly, so he had received, verse 20, so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The results are staggering, aren't they, friends? Staggering in their beauty and in their majesty and in their goodness and in their kindness to those 2 servants who had only done what was expected of them and what was their duty. That's all they'd done, hadn't they? What had they done? They had been given a great responsibility and a great honour and a great privilege. They had received a huge amount of money. And they had been given the responsibility of making something of it. And what had they done? They had made something of it. Something of what was not theirs in the first place, and something of what was a privilege and honour to have to do for their master. So what had they done? Their duty. That's what they were employed to do. That's what they were paid the big bucks for. They had done their duty. So what could they expect from their master? A pat on the back. That's about all. They had done their job. When you go to your job tomorrow, if you have a job, and you do your job, and you do it well, and I hope all of us here seeks to do our employment well, because that's what we're employed to do, and that's what we're paid money to do, do we then expect to get a bonus? No. If we do get a bonus, it's a great kindness from our bosses. We haven't earned that bonus. We've just done our job. A bonus is a gift. It's not earned, friends. You may work very hard. You may say, well, I really worked hard this year. Yeah, but that's what you were employed to do. It was your job. Oh yeah, but I pulled out all the stops. Yes, but that's what you were employed to do. You can't expect anything. And if you do get something, it's a kindness. It's a gift. Isn't it? That's the same here, friends. The man with the 5 talents, he'd only done what he had been employed to do. He was only doing what his master knew that he could do. The job that he was given to do. And he'd only done it with what his master had given him to do it with. He could not expect anything over and above his wages for what he had done. Nothing more. And his master did not bless him and not give him the reward that he had on the basis of what he had done. It was on the basis of his faithfulness and his obedience. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful what in? The small things. You see, the small things. That's how much it contributed to this master. It was just a small thing. Obedience. Duty. But what he was received far outweighed it all, didn't it? Incredible. Absolutely incredible what his master gave him. And it says here, for everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. That's how our God works. For those who have faith and life in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do they have? They have what they have not earned, what they do not deserve. They have salvation. They have new life breathed into them, spiritual life breathed into them, so their spirits become alive and they can know God. And God can know them. They have a personal relationship with the living, with the Almighty God of heaven and earth. They have this. They have him as blessing them as their father, all through this life, helping them, keeping them, lifting them up when they're cast down, helping them through the troubles and trials of life, and using them for his glory. What a privilege and honor they have. And at the end of life, there he is for them, coming to claim them as his very own and giving them more, much, much more, an abundance. They will have life eternal with him in the glories of heaven, a place so glorious that it is fit for God to dwell with his people for all eternity. That's how glorious heaven is. And how wonderful and how exciting heaven is. They have an abundance given to them. But friends, those who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have not been faithful and obeyed God and obeyed his word, and have not repented and turned back to him and believed upon the Son and been saved, those people, because of their disobedience, everything that they have will be stripped from them. Look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. All the blessings that you have in this world, stripped from you. You can't take them with you. All the things that you're living for, all the things that mean so much to you, gone. Gone, friends. All your righteousness, all your good deeds will mean nothing on that day. Nothing. They will not help you on that day. A and you will be cast into hell for all eternity. No more hope, no more happiness, no more joy in your life, no more blessings from God, separated from Him by a great gulf for all eternity, there to languish with your sins and with your transgressions and with your what-ifs for all eternity, eating away at your soul for all eternity. All because you would not repent and turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ and to your God and have Him as your Saviour. All because you were not faithful to your God and to His Word. Is that what's going to happen to you, friends, on that day? Will heaven be barred to you and the kingdom of God shut to you for all eternity because you did not believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins? Don't let that be, friends. It need not be if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your trust in Him and you're saved in Him. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we come into your presence and we do praise and thank you that you are a God who is just and right. Oh Lord, that all you do is merciful and kind. We do pray that you would help those here that do not know you. Oh Lord, have mercy upon them. Lead them to Jesus Christ. Lead them to the Son, that they may have life in Him. Life more abundant now and through all eternity. Oh Lord, bless them. We do ask, as you have once blessed us. We ask these things in His precious name. Amen. Well, now let's sing our last hymn, which is 282. 282. Day of judgment, day of wonders. Hark the trumpet's awful sound. Louder than a thousand thunders. Shakes the vast creation round. How the summons, how the summons will the sinner's heart confound. And let us in the church stand and reflect upon this hymn.